Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
There's three people at the top of the list. Actually, I'm going to get four people at the top of the list. I'm going to get four people at the top of the list. My top four, no particular order. Tatum.
Well, Mount Rushmore, huh?
Tatum, Giannis, Luka, Donovan Mitchell. Those are the top four.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Nailed it.
This is the first. Nailed it. First time in Causeway Street history. The three of us agree on this. All right, 3 weeks into the season, you know Celtics fans are happier than most because this 7-3 record, the offense, the way they've been playing, the way this team continues to impress, I guess is the best way to put it, is definitely putting them on the map in the Eastern Conference. But there's still teams out there that are better than the Celtics. But we'll talk about that. It's the Causeway Street Podcast. I am Josue Pavone. Joel Pavone's here. Sean Dutra. Huge win Monday night. Jason Tatum leading the way against the Memphis Grizzlies, against John Morant, the Memphis Grizzlies, man. What a showdown. Those two going at it. That was fun to watch. But it was also fun to see Jason Tatum just go into this, like, beast mode attitude. I'm going to take over, and I'm going to get my other teammates involved as well. Like, the way this team continues to impress offensively, continues to climb atop of, you know, the ranking, pretty much every offensive category, you know, top three, top five throughout the NBA. I mean, like, that's how good this offense is right now. While the defense continues to give up a whole lot of points, you know, on the other side, the offense continues to strive, man. So I mean, obviously Jason Tatum is the leader of that. I mean, we're even hearing MVP, early MVP conversations involving him and a few other people, you know, in the NBA. We'll talk about that a little bit as well. I'm not a huge fan of the whole 10 games into an NBA season, who's going to be MVP, before the 72 other games of the season. But we'll see how the whole thing plays out. But, yeah, I mean, I guess Jason Tatum, he's on a hot streak right now. But, you know, what does that mean for the Celtics team, of course? And guys, how do we feel about this team right now? I mean, how do we feel about where they are and you know, third place in the Eastern Conference, 7-3?
I'm loving it. I think that this is the exact type of start that not only – Not only did Jason Tatum and the players need, but I think this has been, like, absolutely vital for Mazzulla to be able to come in, find some early success, unlike Ime last year, and be able to, like, really eliminate. We haven't talked once about, is Joe the right guy for this team? Did they pick the right guy? Absolutely huge. And the offense, man, is just outstanding. Like, obviously, number one, they still have number one offense in the league. Tatum, Brown playing as well together as they ever played. I think you're getting an absolute, like, easy six-man of the year performance from Malcolm Brogdon. And, you know, just everything seems to be clicking. Role players are playing well. You're getting – it's almost like, you know, every move that was made in the offseason has worked so far, which is a little bit nerve-wracking for me because I'm waiting for something to go terribly wrong or, you know, something to stop working out. But I just feel like, you know, we all came into the season saying, okay, they're going to play good defense. We'll see about how the offense – we'll see about how long it takes for the new pieces to click together. How is Smart and Brogdon going to gel? How are Brown and Tatum going to gel? How are they going to deal with, you know, Noah Doka? Every question that you had to start the season has been answered positively in the first 10 games. So 7-3, first place in the Atlantic Division. I think it's very hard to poke holes in the Celtics right now, even for the biggest hole pokers. It's very hard to find fault with really anything the Celtics have done, and that's kudos to Mazzulla and the crew. So,
whoa, what do you mean the defense, man? You like this team giving up? They were 120 their opponents were. I give them credit for Memphis game. They finally, you know, held someone to below at least 110. But I mean, yeah, I guess that, again, there's a lot of positive things to take away, but there's,
yeah, man, but
there's much to be desired on the defensive end of the floor.
I think the defense is going to be fine. If I am trying to poke holes in this thing, I don't want to rain on anything positive draws and say, we'll go negative a little bit here, but Al Horford hasn't played very well. There's still questions around backup big men, but that's fine. Because when Robert Williams comes back, this team turns into lockdown defense mode, and I don't want them to rush back. I want us to score 140 points and give up whatever it takes and hopefully get a little bit better. But knowing that you're going to have literally a defensive player of the year candidate coming back, hopefully fully healthy for the stretch run, should give this team a lot of hope about. And if they're winning without playing defense, fine. If they start losing without playing defense, then yeah, then we can start talking. But I think if I don't know. I feel like it's a big enough sample size. They've been playing very well. How are you going to say the defense is a problem when they're 7-3?
Well, I mean, when you're hitting your shots the way the Celtics have been.
And they have been.
And then, yeah.
So, like, what are we going to say? Like, how are you going to say the defense is a problem? You know?
Yeah.
If crossing his fingers. Someone's going to flirt with that record-breaking, franchise record-breaking three-point shooter night at MSG. Like,
yeah, I mean, it's
fun while it lasts, right? But yeah. I'm just saying, I'm just being realistic here.
Like, if I'm gonna poke a hole in I guess on this team is that right? That the defense needs to tighten up because it's hard to believe that they're gonna be shooting this well every single game, especially when they're playing those five games in like seven nights type of stretch.
Let me ask you, though. Would you guys be absolutely shocked after watching the first 10 games of the season? And I know sustainability, I totally understand it. Would you be shocked if this team is the number one offensive team in the league for the course of the year?
No.
So they're going to be fine when Rob gets back. They're going to be fine. If they stay healthy and Rob comes back, then not only will they have, they're not getting any offensive production from the center anyways right now, and you're going to get Rob who can rim run to give you a whole different type of perspective on the offensive end. So, I mean, in my opinion, let it roll. We can worry about the defense if Rob doesn't come back, and then if Rob can come back and then you get into a playoff series, then sure, we can talk about, well, maybe this is a front-running team, but I mean...
No, I don't think it's a front-running team. I just think that... the games that they squeaked out wins, you wouldn't have saw that a year ago, right? So that's a plus, obviously. But then I'll take a step further. I think what's also been great to watch, other than Tatum doing his thing on the offensive end, is his defense. His defense has improved quite a bit, in my opinion. And it's not like he's picking his spots to play defense. No, he's playing defense, you know, throughout the night, which is great. Because number one, you know, the defense is kind of lacking. So, you know, and he's playing the fourth. He's going to have to, you know, pick it up and everyone else as well. But overall, it hasn't been like horrible on the defensive end.
Let me throw one thing else at you guys. You guys may, this may have been lost on everyone shitting on the potential Joe Mazzulla defense here, but the Celtics started the season last year.
You literally just found this out right now, but go ahead.
Yeah, I remember.
He's like, I sure did.
So why are you presenting it? It's like, you guys may have slept on this fact that I just found 16 seconds ago.
No.
But I'm going to tell you about it right now.
I remember last year, the big thing at the start of the season was like, yo, I thought this guy was supposed to make them play defense. And they dude, 138, 115, 97, 129, 116, 115, 128. They started the season 2-5. With those numbers giving up on defense, like, yo, give it a little bit for the defense to get into play. But, like, we had the same problem last year. I didn't think it was that bad. That was when I just looked at it and I had to jump in. Because that's awful.
Yeah, but it goes, that goes to my point, though, that they, some of these games that they've able to squeak out, they weren't able to do that a year ago. So, you know, it's not such a glaring, you know, stat or whatever you want to call it, which you just looked up compared to this year.
Yeah, but don't you remember we had these same discussions last year? That's why it rang a bell in me. I was like, wait a minute. Like, we talked this exact same way last year about how this team is supposed to be.
No, but they were losing. That's the difference. They were losing.
Yeah, right. They weren't closing out those games.
Yeah. Right. Like, the Memphis game, like, they blew a 14-point lead. And then when they went on their 10-0 run, you think, all right, this is it. They're gonna close this out. And Memphis still had that one more rally left in them. And if it wasn't for free throws, Maybe it turns into an overtime game or whatever, or even a loss.
Yeah.
I mean, there's plenty of encouraging signs from the defensive side. Like, and look, again, holding a team to anywhere closer to 110 than 120 is a start, because this team was averaging, man, they were giving up close to 120 points a game. And obviously the last couple of games have brought that down a bit. They're down to what, 114? So they're in the middle of the pack. They're no longer, you know, top 10 in the NBA of giving up points. So
yeah. And Memphis is
they've improved.
And Memphis is one of the top scoring teams in the league as well. And, you know, to hold them to, you know, the low hundreds, that's pretty good.
Man, what a showdown.
I feel like
that was fun.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
I don't know, and I guess I can't look up stats while I'm on the podcast when I have a feeling, because Sway will call me out on it. But
no, it's just the way you presented it. Like, it was so like, well, you guys aren't even talking about this, but here's this fact. It's just like, you definitely just came up with that because you would have led with that 7 minutes ago.
But, shoving facts down your throat, yeah, you know.
Sometimes just don't present it like that.
I'll present it however the hell I please.
Well, while you guys are, you know, talking about this, you didn't even mention this fact.
Too busy over there jerking each other's chains off. I forgot about this little dandy from last year, huh?
This little nugget that I
let me dangle this
that in front. Discovered, you know.
Like, you had it in your back pocket this whole time. Like,
my suspicions were correct.
Yeah, right.
Well, you know,
uh-huh.
I'm glad you guys fell into my trap. Let's just but don't you feel like offense, I mean, just like scoring numbers are up across the board this year? I feel like every game that I'm watching is like,
oh, the NBA. Oh, yeah, definitely.
Big time.
Yeah.
Like, I don't.
Well, so what are you trying to say? No one's playing defense, so Celtics are just going to join the trend? What are you going to do?
No, I just feel like.
I know what you're saying. You're saying if just a little bit more defense is played, then more wins. Or...
Well, I think you look at the numbers and you're assuming the Celtics will be defending at a rate where they were last year, you know, under 100 or right around 100 a game. Like, I don't know if that.
I don't know if it'll be under 100 now. That's asking a lot. But
offenses this year just seem like everyone's shooting the ball a lot better this year. It just seems like things are clicking. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean,
but I don't know. I just feel like that's sort of the trend I'm noticing.
I'm on the train of, like, if, you know, they're the top offensive team in the league, then, you know, the defense shouldn't be, you know, below like 10th. You shouldn't be like in the 20s, you know, as a rank. And that's like that's the seesaw is way too unbalanced there. You know, last year, actually, even the bubble year, they were, you know, top five in both categories, in both offense and defense. And I don't think that, you know, that's too much to ask for this roster that was on point defensively last year, even though it took like half a season. But look where it got them.
Well, one player who's off to a quick start is definitely Jason Tatum. I mean, obviously, now he's averaging 30 points. But that type of performance, again, against someone like John Moran, going toe-to-toe with someone like that, you know, top-tier scorer in the NBA. I mean, Tatum's he's entering that conversation, even though it is really early, about MVP and just being the guy who can carry his team. And one part of his game right now that I'm loving is getting to the free throw line, man. Like, that's something that we've been saying this for years, and that's something that it kind of goes without being said that those two things go hand in hand with most superstars. When you're a top scorer, you get to the free throw line more often. You get those calls more often. A lot's been said about how he complains to the officials. Well, right now things are working in his favor. You know, I mean, the complaints are still in there. There was a complaint of, and he was still coming down from a dunk as he was complaining, which I thought was impressive. And you know, that's still in his repertoire, but the offense doesn't lie against, you know, the way he's picking his spots, the way he's getting to his spots, you know, take advantage of the angles, reading the defenses. I mean, that's what's impressing me the most. Like, that's superstar level stuff. Like, the way he's reading opposing teams' defenses and knowing how to attack and knowing how to draw those fouls where it's undeniable. I mean, that's the difference. He's averaging 8 attempts from the free throw line, you know, which, again, it's early in the season, but if he can maintain that and continue to shoot, you know, close to 90% for the free throw line. He hasn't done that in any season of his career. Like, the highest he's ever shot was, what, 86%? That was a few years ago. Like, if he can do the 90, the 40-90-20, and obviously, you know, he's going to average more than 20 points, that would carry this offense, obviously, to maintain what's been going on. But the depth of this bench, if we can get into that, and the impact it's been doing on the offense, too, is only going to help this team. And that's what's really going to make this offense strive. And look, I'm with you, Sean. Like, that's why I'm thinking, okay, could they maintain being one of the top offenses in the NBA? Absolutely. Because the way Jason Tatum's playing right now, what Malcolm Brogdon means to this team, how he's elevated the bench and has gotten people to, you know, to all be on the same page, what Sam Hauser is doing right now off that bench, like, all those signs are pointing into that direction that they could be a top-tier offense. But obviously, I'm going to keep my eyes on the defense too as well, because that was record-breaking defense. You know, one of the best defensive Celtics teams I've seen since the 08 or 2010 team. Like, that's how good they were last year. You get anywhere near that level, this team's unstoppable. That's an NBA championship team. You know, that's the difference.
I agree too, because I think you're getting elevated play from both Tatum and Jaylen Brown, who's averaging 25 points a night. But the problem is, like, every time...
It's a little cold against Memphis, but okay, yeah.
Like, we're talking about the whole first 10 games. I know, like, we could pick out... I think Tatum didn't have his best game against... who did they play before Memphis?
The Knicks. Well, he started to warm up towards the second half. What do you mean?
And we had 26...
Well, I mean, what about, like, shooting percentage? Because I feel like, you know, Tatum, for a good chunk of these games, might necessarily not have, you know, a great shooting night, but because he's getting to the line, his point output increases. So it doesn't look like it was a horrible game, but he found a way to score.
No, 100%. So I think he didn't have it. I think the whole team shot incredibly well against the Knicks. So that's a hard one to look at, but he did. He was the
27 threes. Yeah. That will do it for you.
I mean, he shot
falling out. What a show.
6 of 13 and had the worst field goal percentage, 3-point field goal percentage of the team that game. But anyways, what I'm trying to get at is
Tatum was probably one of the most fun games I've seen live.
Yes. Oh, fun games I've watched, I think.
Oh, man.
Tatum elevating his game. Brown sneakily elevating his game. You add depth around them, because last year they both started the season very well individually, statistically. And we know how that started, because it had no depth and it had no help. But now you're looking at a bench that can come in, play positive minutes. I think, like, that combination of Brogdon, with Jaylen Brown's out, and it's like Brogdon, Tatum, and Grant Williams are sort of running the show, and Smart's thrown in there too. I think that, like, second unit where, like, let Jaylen rest, and then you can also bring Jaylen in to sub out Tatum with that and have those three players sort of run the offense, like, that has been.
Yeah, they've been cohesive. That was, like, a season ago, yeah, everyone was getting theirs, or at least Tatum and Brown were, but they weren't. It was like, all right, you go, and then I go. And then that just wasn't resulting in good basketball.
They even slapped, they even gave each other a high five on the court after an assist to each other the other day, which I thought was like,
yeah, they might even make a handshake soon, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, they might even start liking each other soon, man. Like, I mean, can you imagine?
When everybody eats, everybody's happy.
Everyone happy, right? Yeah, that's
wait, where's that from?
What? I don't know.
I've never heard that saying before. You guys make it sound like that's a thing.
It is a thing. We just made it a thing.
We just made it a thing, man.
Everyone, you guys said the same time. Everyone's happy.
Everyone's happy.
I just look it up on Wikipedia.
I was like, how did you guys say that at the same time?
It's a causeway saying now.
Man, what's making this bench, like those three guys that Sean mentioned, obviously are key. Like those are the glue guys off the bench that are going to, you know, strengthen and lead that group. But what Sam Howell is doing right now, like when you add a shooter in the mix, and obviously Grant Williams can also knock down, you know, those 3-point shots. Malcolm Brogdon can do that as well. Guys like that on the floor, opening the paint, opening the middle for someone like Jason Tatum. Like, you know, you can mix them in there with those second unit guys. I mean, like, that's what makes me think, man, this team can really get going. This team can be one of the deeper teams in the NBA. I mean, one of the deeper teams in the East, at least, right? Like that's something that we were concerned about, you know, especially without Rob Williams, especially, you know, You see the Celtics go out and get someone like Danilo Gallinari, and then he's out for the year, you know. So now Sam Hauser stepping in here, and I don't think this thing's a fluke, guys. I really don't. I mean, season career high 17 points against the Knicks, Madison Square Garden. He went 5 for 8. He looks comfortable out there.
Yeah,
his footwork is what's impressed me the most. The way he's getting back on defense has also impressed me. Like he's improved from last season. You know, he doesn't look as raw as he did. No, and the small, you know, looks that we got last year of him out there playing mostly garbage time. I mean, he's evolved from that point.
Yeah, I would agree. I wasn't the biggest believer in Sam Hauser, but I did feel like that moment was the right moment for him. And like he, you know, obviously the Knicks, you want to talk about a defensive team that can't defend anybody. I mean, talk about the Knicks.
Oh, but when I say that, you're like, oh no, you know, look out for the Knicks. They could right. Surprise some people.
You're right. But I
did, yeah, really give up on that one, huh, Sean?
They're about a piece away, about a superstar away. But that's another story. Anyways, Hauser showed up in the moment, and I'm glad that they didn't necessarily like run it back with him and put too much on him. Like, do you feel like Hauser's going to be a consistent rotational piece, or do you feel like it's going to be like, let's build him in? Like, cause I don't know. I mean,
I think he's a rotational piece, but he's just a weapon that you use. You know what I mean? It's not going to be, cause I know what you're saying. It's not going to be someone that they're going to constantly draw plays for and say, oh, we have to get his shots. He's going to just flow into the natural flow of the offense. Like, if the shots are there, they're there, you know. It's going to be based off obviously getting those defensive stops that get the fast break going, but also just playing in the flow of the offense. I mean, that's how impressive this team has been. It hasn't just been, again, like, if it was one of those runs where it's just like, oh, two people have to go off every single time, or was relying on, you know, 3-point shooting, because obviously that game in particular, it was big in that game, but that's not necessarily the identity of the offense. It's just more about reading the defense and just getting the best available shot. The guys have just been successful.
With Hauser, he takes advantage of his opportunities, right? And he gets more opportunities when someone like Horford's out, right? So,
oh, that too.
Yeah, when he plays
second nights of back-to-backs, yeah.
He's more versatile than just a shooter, right? I think we all just assume that, like, all right, he's going to kind of play some of Gallinari's minutes and just he's just a shooter, nothing else. But he's proven that he's more than that, and the more he keeps putting that on display, the more minutes he's going to play, whether, you know, the team is shorthanded or not. Because I feel like when the team is shorthanded, that's when he plays more minutes, and then you see more shot opportunities and you're like, damn, like, you know, why isn't this dude, like, you know, the second guy, you know, the second guy off the bench? Most of the times he's what, the third, maybe fourth guy off the bench on most nights.
But I think we're right where he should be. I think the Celtics have, we talk about the depth. We talk about like what weapons they have. Like, you don't have to all of a sudden rely on Hauser to play 25 minutes a night to win, which is key, because I don't think he's there yet. I think you still need to make sure he is in the role he should be, instead of like trying to force him to be the whatever. What's the Heat guy? Name him. Fucking drawing a blank.
Robinson.
Duncan Robinson, yeah, you, like or Kyle Korver or any spot up shooter that you're looking for. He's not.
Yeah, but see, I don't think that's what's going to happen. I like that. That's different. Like I feel like that's when the offense is predicated on getting that person shot. Like I don't think that's going to be it. But I see what you're saying. You don't want it to evolve into that.
I don't want it to. I think like if we had Hauser last year coming off the bench and playing like he was right now, with the way the bench was set up, we would have been forcing shots down his throat, and then things would have probably crumbled pretty quickly. And I think that's
right. You need someone like Brogdon to just control the offense, the natural flow of it. And that's why he's been huge for this team. He's been one of the biggest reasons why this offense has been so successful.
Yeah, big time. Brogdon, I think has been like the absolute reason why Tatum and Brown have been playing so well, and the reason why the offense has been playing so well. I think it all comes back to Brogdon and what he's bringing you off the bench.
I knew you loved Brogdon.
Love Brogdon. You know I've been.
I knew you love MB. I knew it.
You know. I've been talking about Brogdon for a while, and I don't. But he's always injured. And hey, I'm hoping that's different this year, man. Yeah. You know,
I'm waiting for you to unannounced just walk into the coffee studio, which is the Malcolm Brogdon jersey. Just be like, got it yesterday, guys. Just got it yesterday.
No, I got my Marcus Smart jersey. I'm not getting a different jersey, bro. That's it.
Yo, why does it have to be?
Why is it one right. or the other, bro? Come on, man.
Seriously, are you Team Marcus?
What are you fucking now? Foreshadowing here? How the
fuck I am not. Right? I am not saying that it's because...
Stop reinstating these Celtic stereotypes, right?
I'm not going Brogdon... Brogdon versus Smart. I accept all point guards on this team, but I just bought my... here.
Except for Carson Edwards. That's a whole different
story. That just sounded so political.
I accept all point guards on this team.
All walks of life.
Kyrie. I respect all walks of life. Yeah, he's there, Kyrie. Yeah.
Even the guy who doesn't play any minutes. Sorry, Payton. You know, I respect you too.
Hey, I think...
Justin.
Part of the league.
Yeah. Right? It's got nothing to do with race. It's just all about like the type of players there. Oh, man. All right, well, Sean, why don't you lead us into our next segment here? Why don't you lead us into who's up next for the Celtics team? How could they improve on this terrific 10-game start to the regular season? 7-3 start, Celtics, third in the Eastern Conference.
You know the cliche, right? Oh, I know it's a small sample size. No, it's the only fucking sample size we have. It's all we got to talk about.
Yo, 10 games is a decent sample size. Like, let's be honest.
No, not really.
It's more than 15% way through the season.
No. We're not doing this. We're not doing this. You know, this wrong calculating of the math here.
Math. We can do some causeway math.
Nah, though. Man, we're not doing that. Man.
All right. Well, Sean, if I give you one slice of a pizza, right, of a whole pie, does that mean you ate most of the pizza?
So if I ate one slice of the pizza, I would be able to tell you if that's a good pizza or a bad pizza.
Now, is that 15%?
That's different.
But is that 15% of the pizza?
All right. That wasn't the best analogy. All right. But you know what I mean.
Was that?
You haven't even had not even a quarter of that pizza. Like, if someone accused you of eating most of the pizza, you'd be like, I only had a slice. Like, that's how much of this pizza we've had.
You're definitely not going to be like, I had only 15% of that pizza. Like, no.
Yeah.
Okay, no. 10 games over an 82 game schedule is 12% of the pizza, okay? Of the full pie, which I feel
is
like...
Is this factual or you just made this up?
Yes, because I knew 10... Okay, yeah, 12.5% would be 10.80.
Causeway math, baby. I love it.
5 would be 20... Yeah.
Never fails.
So, I'm just saying, I know I can... If I have...
We all should take the MCAS and just see what happens.
Oh my god, dude!
Just the math section.
You just gave me horrible flashbacks right now of that shit.
Like the one that we took back then, like the same one, just to see what happens. Just the math section.
When I took, at least the last time I took it, we were like the last year that it didn't count towards graduation. So,
oh, fuck you, dude. We were the first.
I'd be aging myself a little bit here, but it is what it is.
We were the first year that counted. From 4th, 6th, eighth and tenth grade. You
six,
had to pass all
six fifth. Too. Damn, I thought it was like, I thought, well, for us it was fourth. We took a fourth, eighth, and tenth. Yeah.
No, you didn't take that shit fourth, dog.
Standardized test the fuck out of us, man.
Great.
We took it at fourth.
No, I don't think so.
I remember taking it in elementary school.
Nope. I remember you did.
Oh, you remember I did it?
Never did. No, that was like a practice thing. Dude. Yeah, Joel, that was like a practice thing.
We were the full class to go through the full run of MCAS. Was our class. Yeah.
Like, let's see what these fuckers, how they come out. our stats were huge in the data.
Who's laughing?
The data research.
Who's laughing?
They were like, the school board across the state was like, yo, we have some dumb motherfuckers that we're letting just slip by here, guys. We need to we need to rectify this immediately.
Hold on.
Plug the holes here.
Hold on. Did anyone know that all of the eighth grade, half of the eighth grade students in Massachusetts are reading at a fourth grade level? Why have we never tested? What the hell's going on?
If they listen to our Causeway Math, yeah, they would not be.
I know, they'd be like, how the hell did you guys even make it?
Yeah. They were like, it's useless. Standardized tests are useless. Look how these guys are doing.
Any former teachers of the Pavone brothers and Sean Dutra, you know, we tried. You know, we did what we could.
Anyway, Sean.
Good. Anyway, Scott. Right. So we got Celtics, as we are looking ahead here, take their 7-3 record against the Detroit Pistons, who, surprise, they suck. What do you know? Who would have thought seeing this coming? Pistons, definitely not a good basketball team. They've lost 7 of the last 8 games they've played. So, you know, I think the Celtics have sort of had a little bit of a challenging schedule where they've had some good contests. The Pistons should definitely be one of those wins where we're like, okay, let's lock it down and hold them under 100 points. I mean, they got them tonight, and then Friday night, the start of a 2-game homestand. They got the Denver Nuggets that come into the Garden. The Denver Nuggets playing good basketball at this point of the season. Also 7-3 going into whoever they got before the Celtics, which looks like it's the Pacers. So,
going into whoever they got.
Yeah. Some opponent they're playing before they play the Celtics.
Are you looking ahead for Denver? What's going on?
I'm just trying to set the scene. You know, set the mood, light a couple candles. You know, it's a big Friday night matchup, man.
Wherever they're fucking flying from. They'll be in Boston.
Yeah, Celtics will be home, staying at home, well-rested, going into this matchup against the Nuggets, who got to go to Indiana and then come to Boston.
Spicy Nuggets, huh?
Yeah. What do you guys think of the Nuggets this year? Jamal Murray's been back, looking pretty good. See that 360 layup that dude pulled the other night? That was pretty fucking dope.
They're looking pretty spicy there.
Yeah, the Nuggets, as long as they got the Joker, they're always going to be a team to reckon with.
But don't you
feel... Yeah, it smells like a L, if I'm being completely honest with you.
No. So this year, I'm not saying it's an L, but I'm just saying this year...
hey, what did I say about that Cleveland game, by the way?
You didn't. You said 2-1.
Just saying.
You said Knicks.
Yes, 2-1. I said against the Cleveland. I said the Cavs.
Oh.
2-1.
I said they were going to lose against the Knicks, but when
you guys are both correct, just wrong each way, you know. But
what are you talking about? I think they lose against Cleveland. They lost.
Yeah, but you should have said 3-0. So,
so when you win, you actually lose.
Yes. Damn it. Exactly. Come on, play the game, bro. So yeah, I don't know. Those are the two games, and then we got Detroit. We fly to Detroit.
Detroit basketball.
Yeah, which I actually had a little bit of higher hopes for Detroit, but it's a back-to-back. So basically, Wednesday at home versus Detroit. Friday, big game against the Nuggets. Then you play an interesting schedule. You're at Detroit on Saturday on the second day of a back-to-back, and you come back to Boston to play the OKC Thunder down under.
Let me say that again.
All right, we got Wednesday home against Detroit. Friday, big-time matchup against the Nugs. Then go to Detroit on Saturday to play those same sorry ass Pistons. And then on Monday.
Oh, that's right. Okay, yeah. They're back home, yeah.
To play the Oklahoma City Thunder from Down Under. And
you have to say that every time.
And OKC is actually playing pretty good basketball this
year. Oh, you know why? Man.
Joshua.
My boy's balling out. What?
Joshua Giddey?
Yeah, I guess he's playing well too, but you know, man, Shai Gilgeous.
That's very true. Shai Gilgeous is having himself a little bit of a season here.
Shai.
Don't look now, but the Thunder are 4-6, guys. I mean,
there might even be, you know, yeah, 6-6 or you know,
tough matchup for the Celtics, though, man. That'd be a good test.
That's certainly, it's sort of the way I look at Detroit and OK, like, they should be, a tough out, but.
Trap games?
Depends on the night. Like, I feel like Sully's going to come, play really well against, you know, Detroit's first game, potentially come out, see what happens against the Nuggets. And that back-to-back against Detroit, that's going to be the toughest game in the thing. Because, you know, you fuck Detroit and then got to play a team that's going to be able to game plan against you because they just played just. So we'll see what happens. But those are the four games.
Who's in the early MVP conversation besides Tatum that you guys think?
All right, Jason Tatum
being mentioned. All right, Luka. Since we got in light of, you know, Joker coming to town, who else?
Luka,
hands down. And then you got Luke. So Luke, I think there's three people at the top of. Actually, I'm going to get four people at the top of the list. My top four, no particular order. Tatum.
Well, Mount Rushmore, huh?
Tatum, Giannis. Luka, Donovan Mitchell. Those are the top four.
You know what? I'm going to agree with you.
Yeah. Oh, shit.
Nailed it.
The first time in Causeway Street history. The three of us agree on this.
All right. Rank the four, though. Let's see.
So close.
Rank the four. So I go.
Giannis.
One or four?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Luka. One.
Luka.
Is that a question?
No, I'm why? Sure.
What? Well, how is Luka number one?
Luka's number one because he's... Because
he's a white guy.
Oh, shit.
Hey, I said I believe in all point guards,
okay?
That's right.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
I'm sorry.
You crossed the line, Joe.
Probably do, ready.
Cross the line, man.
Why take one vacation with the family when you could take all of them? With Royal Caribbean, you don't just go to the beach. You visit a private island and race down the tallest water slide in North America. You don't just go for a road trip. You ATV and zip line through the jungle. You don't just go somewhere new. You rappel down waterfalls and discover ancient temples. Because this isn't just any vacation. This is all the vacations. Come seek the Royal Caribbean. Ships Registry, Bahamas.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the we just hit a million orders stage. No matter what stage you're in, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/special offer, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/special offer.
You probably do got to give the edge to Giannis. Just
come on, man! You're just saying that because you're just speaking out of your heart right now, man. You do that all the time.
As we're recording this bad boy, they're 9-1, my dude. They were the last team that was looking undefeated.
They should be 10-0, but
I clearly
and like and honestly, I didn't think you know they were going to be like this good without Middleton. So,
I knew
that's saying something.
I knew.
But Luka Doncic is averaging 36 points a game. You know, his worst game this year was when he put a 31-point triple-double up. That's his lowest scoring game this year. So Luka's just been playing basketball.
I wasn't impressed.
Luka's playing basketball at insane level.
You know, there was another point guard by the name of Russell Westbrook, you know, about 8 years ago, doing the same shit.
And what... Yeah. Wait.
How'd that turn out for him?
What did
he won MVP?
What did he win? He won MVP. Thank you.
All right, let's keep going. Okay, one. All right, yeah. Giannis, two. Luka, three.
Tatum.
This is where it gets interesting.
Tatum.
I'm gonna say Mitchell. Sorry.
All right.
Because no, come on, like who the fuck thought that Cleveland was going to be this good?
This
good? Shut the fuck up.
See, if you're basing it on the last 3 days, you could say Tatum. But beyond that, you got to give it to Mitchell. Majority win.
You gotta look at the head to head matchups, right? They beat us twice. Like that's
yeah. Tough. Well, there you go.
And
bro.
That too.
There
yeah.
you go, bro. If you're trying to figure out which one is, you know, which one should go over, then right there, you just broke the tiebreaker, bro.
All right.
Yeah, we're making progress. Look at this, man. We're all on the same page.
Jesus Christ.
Now let's really fuck some shit up.
Book it.
Who's number
all five? Four.
The weather changes and then fuck.
Who's number five? See, why Sean? See,
I'm a, we really said are, we said
really
four,
man. Betting man, aren't you?
Yeah,
Sean?
Right. Why you gotta do that? Why you always?
Always gotta roll. Always see that's how betters think. You see how the generous think? They're always thinking, no, let's keep milking this. You know, we got the lucky streak going. Let's see if we can get the fifth one. Come on,
see how far we can go. Right, I see the fucking edge. Let me just fucking just let me look
I
over
get
real quick.
It now. That's the itch. That's the itch you got to scratch. You know.
Hold on, we got a good thing going. Let's keep it rolling, man. Let's go.
Who's number five? Who's number five?
All good things come in threes, huh? What the fuck, dude?
If we all said the fifth one, you know, Sean's gonna be like, "All right, guys, you got to keep it going." Huh? All right, number six.
Everyone say it at the same time. Everyone
God damn it! No, we're not gonna do it.
Think about it, and everyone say it at the same time.
No, okay? I'm not thinking about it. I'm quitting while we're ahead. Let's quit while we're ahead.
On the count of three. Everyone, the people. Ready? Got it? Yours? Joel, you got yours?
I got mine.
Hold on.
Damn, Joel.
All right.
Yeah.
One, two, three.
Ja Morant.
Ah.
Yes.
You froze up.
Joel, you said Morant? I didn't.
I said Steph.
Oh. That's enough.
That's not bad, but he was a little in the beginning. He was a little cold. Lately, obviously, he went off the other night. But no, yeah, that's not bad. That's not bad.
No love for Trae Young. I was gonna go back and forth between Ja and Trae, but I don't know.
But Trae's having a good start because of his counterpart.
Yeah. Hey,
that's not bad. That's not bad.
Pretty much. Out of 15 potential players, we were 14 for 15 there. We'll take those odds any day.
Well, we could have been a fucking perfect on 100
you see,
score
you see how
if he didn't fucking
works.
Push it.
You see how Sean's brain works? Oh, man. That's hilarious.
Joel, I feel like if you, did you say Curry?
I said Steph. I went Steph. And then you guys,
yeah. I thought it sounded like you went, ugh. But yeah, or some kind of noise. But yeah, you said stuff. Yeah.
Some kind of noise.
You just freaked up. Well, you whole fuck this whole thing up, though. You could have said a name, dude.
Almost like a. Yeah, he said stuff. Though, yeah.
It would have been funny if all three of us just went Ja, like Da, like it would have been. Like, wait, what? What was that? Like, what was just a noise. Da.
Did you say Ja? No, you're real happy. All right, man. So listen, that fourth matchup, man. That's what makes it tough.
OKC,
realistically, Sean. OKC, yeah.
OKC Thunder from Down Under.
Oh, jeez.
Sorry. I kind of like it.
The Thunder from Down Under? That's an old Outback Steakhouse dessert.
I figured, bro. Yes. Yeah, I figured that was from,
Let me get the Thunder from Down
something,
Under.
Something related to, an Australian accent. I get it.
Which also is a good way to say I just shit my pants.
Is that what they say down there?
Oh boy, he's got a little thunder from down under, huh?
That's not what they say, because why would he put that on the menu?
You learn something new every day. No, it's like, when someone...
That's a common saying in Northeast Australia about how they say they shit their pants.
You learn something new every day?
So, 3-1, guys? What do you got?
Or no, baby.
Yeah, out of your mind. Joel?
3-1, but it won't be OKC. It's going to be one of the Detroit games for some reason. Detroit gave the Celtics fits last year.
Now, hear me out. Hear me out with this. Celtics tickets for Monday night are just like $26 to get into the building against the Thunder. So,
what does that have to do with them winning that game? I
Hey, I was like, all right, so yeah. What's the
I wait,
next?
I wait for the other side of it.
Yeah, so. So I think you're going to say when tickets drop to a certain, price range, they win the game. I don't know.
Yeah, they're undefeated.
You know what?
Let me tickets dropped to $23.
Let me go check that. Let me go check that.
Ah, get the fuck out of here. How are you going to even look that up?
You didn't know that?
How do you Google that?
It's happened for the last 2 years in a row.
You don't Google it. You pull a spreadsheet and you just do research your own self. There you go.
I'm sorry. I forgot who I was dealing with here.
I think they get. Yeah, I think they might go 2-2. I really do, man. I don't know.
I wouldn't. I mean, I'll play like it's a hard stretch just because of the way it.
Yeah.
That Nuggets Pistons back to back. That's tough. Like you got to take, and you can't mess up the other two.
Yeah, but then I'm also basing it on their little three.
OKC is tough.
Their three game little mini streak going on right now that maybe they're gonna pick it up even more so on the defensive end. They're like, we gotta clamp down on these. We're gonna clamp down on these whack, these whack ass teams. Even though I still feel like Detroit's gonna beat them in one of those games.
Celtics killer Sadiq Bey is in the Pistons jersey,
and that's another. That's Sway's boy.
Yeah,
that goes.
Sounds like he still plays basketball. So
yeah, he still plays for the Detroit Pistons. So yes,
and
it could have been yours. No, all right, I'm going 2-2. Lost to the Nuggets, and.
Just no faith they can beat a good team, huh? That's fucking
And OKC. I don't know. Something about OKC. I think it's going to be a tough matchup. They're going to lose in like overtime.
Then call it 3-0. They can beat the Nuggets. They got the Nuggets at home. They're going to get up for that game. They're going to beat the Nuggets, man.
So the next Moses Brown is gonna just shit on the Celtics and on the Thunder. Is that what's gonna happen?
I wish people could see Sean's face right now. He looks so mad. Why are you so mad at me right now?
Just because, do you believe in this team or you don't believe in this team? It's so easy to say, and I go the opposite way, but the Nuggets at home on a Friday night, the Celtics are gonna get up for that game. They're not gonna lose that game, man.
I tell you this, the last time I saw Celtics Nuggets was last season on a Friday, and it was right after the Derek White trade.
The D-White.
Speaking of players that have found themselves a nice role on the team, so much better than what we had to try to force him into last year. He just sort of plays, floats around, plays some good defense, makes a good play. Yeah. Doesn't have to score. So much of a better role.
Well, when that jump shot's falling, man. It's tough because then teams have to go out and guard, and they don't want to do that. When you have Michael Brogdon on the floor, when you got either Tatum or Brown on the floor, one of those guys seems like to be the common lineup when you mix it with the second unit. So
yeah, and even Greg Williams is a threat. Never thought I'd say that, but
I love this offense, man. I know, right? I know, man. These kids are growing up in front of our eyes. Yeah. Man. Look at these guys.
They'll go 2-2 this week.
That defense is sus. All right. And because of that, they're going 2-2. All right.
All right.
Those are high power offensive teams coming in. And I know they're going to be in home and everything. And the crowd's going to be backing them up. I just think it's gonna be a tough matchup, but it'll come down to the wire. I'm not talking.
I'm sorry, Causeway listeners. We couldn't agree on every little thing here.
Okay? I'm sure Zadis is very happy with your prediction right now. All right,
shut the hell up. All right, let's wrap up this show the way we wrap up every single episode here on Causeway Street. We take our trip around the NBA with Joel.
In case you missed it.
Joel, what we missed?
Well. It's the part of the episode where we give the listeners what I like to call the Kyrie update. The last time we spoke about this man, we were all confused as to why anything hadn't been done to him in terms of any sort of punishment, no consequences. And as usual, when we record an episode, some other shit drops right after it's been released. So Mr. Irving has been suspended for no less than 5 games. And in the meantime, before he can suit up again for the Nets, Kyrie has to complete 6 items.
Yeah, like a punch list, huh? What we got?
We got it here. He has to name his first son. No, I'm sorry. Never mind. Sorry, that's a different list. I'm sorry. Different list. My bad. Sorry.
Whoa. Where'd you get that list from?
My bad here.
Yeah, what is Adam Silver, Rumpelstiltskin?
Yeah, I'm sorry. I think, I picked up the wrong sheet of paper here.
What the heck, man? Yeah, stop reading those tabloids, man. That's not in case you missed it. Now, come on.
He has to name his firstborn. What does he have to name his firstborn? What does he have to name his firstborn? We need to know the end of the story. What does he have to name it?
Jeremiah. He needs a Jeremiah. Jeremiah Irving. Noah.
Noah.
Noah Irving.
Moses.
The more biblical, the better.
All right. He's got to.
I guess they're all biblical.
I guess he's sort of done this, but, you know, this was after the fact. He got suspended. Apologize/condemn the movie in question here that he had sitting on his Twitter feed for longer than it should have been up there. He also has to contribute $500,000 to an anti-hate cause.
Wait, hold on. Didn't he try to do that already?
Yeah.
It was the ADL.
And they said, we don't want your money, bro. We just want a fucking apology. Yeah.
They're like, fuck off.
The Anti-Defamation League. They said no to the money, but he has to go meet with them, I think.
Okay.
That's another thing. He's going to meet with the ADL.
That's one of them, right?
Yeah, he's going to meet with the ADL.
Maybe have to go somewhere different, somewhere take his money.
Yeah, he's got to meet with them and Jewish leaders, anti-Semitic training, and sensitivity training. And last but not least, he's got to meet with Josai to demonstrate the understanding of these items.
Jeez.
Now, rumor has it that the reason why all these things are being, you know, asked of him is that he's going to most likely not do them. And thus meaning that, well, you ain't going to complete this shit, then we don't care how much we're paying you this year. You're not coming back to play for the Nets. But.
And this is the same Kyrie Irving who he couldn't just flat out say he's anti-Semitic and he couldn't do a proper apology. Right, same Kyrie Irving.
The same guy.
So you can see why there's sort of people are speculating this. Like, if you think he's going to do half of these things, like, just think about how hard it was him to give a formal apology before the suspension was handed down.
Yeah. So, I mean, as we're recording this podcast, he hasn't played in two games so far, but he's also has met with Adam Silver. And according to sources here, both sides had a productive understanding, paving the way for the Nets and their suspended star to work through his steps on a potential path forward, whatever that means.
Yeah. I mean, man, Brooklyn right now. Jeez.
Curry really messed up, huh?
Yo, we're also forgetting here that, you know, Ime still hasn't been hired by the Nets, and most likely it has to do with, you know, this Kyrie situation that needs to be figured out before bringing in another controversy to the squad.
I'm starting to think that this was all just like, just a stupid, I mean, obviously it's a poor judgment because of the way he reacted to the backlash. But more importantly, I'm starting to think that, like, maybe he just really didn't watch the whole documentary. And he didn't realize, like, how bad it was. You know, like,
I don't think he saw it at all.
He didn't expect that coming at all. Like, I don't think this is, a lot of people want to say, like, oh, he likes to stir the pot, or oh, he just likes to be controversial, just because, like that. With this one, I'm starting to think that, like, this was way more than he anticipated. Like, he was way in over his head here. He didn't intend for any of this.
Bro, he read the synopsis of the flick, and it was like, oh, yeah, I can agree with this. And just put it up on his thing, put it up on his Twitter.
I don't know how you watch, like, even the movie name, and then it says, like it spells it out for you pretty clearly on the thing you posted.
I don't know. Look, I'm not trying to, like, give Curry a free pass here because, you know, either way, it's irresponsible, but I'm like, just whatever it is, whether it's owning up to, if that's the case, you know, what I'm saying, the intrusive that whatsoever, owning up to saying, like, look, I made a mistake, which I think would be difficult for him to do after the constant year after year of the whole the earth is flat thing. Like, I'm sure he regrets saying that, you know, and I just feel like he maybe saw him going down the same sort of path. However, there's also the other side of it, right? Maybe, you know, he's just like, if I post something on here, like, why does it matter so much? But I also don't think that maybe he didn't, what do you call it? What am I trying to say? It's almost as if he didn't, like, completely get the context of the film or the seriousness behind it, you know, that, you know, the distinction between fact and a completely or half or whatever opinionated piece. Like, I think he didn't understand those lines and the magnitude of putting something like that on your Instagram story, even if it's just an Instagram story, the kind of backlash that would happen, you know? But like, do either one of you think he's anti-Semitic?
No, I don't think so either.
He's just been going about this horribly. Like, instead of just owning up to it or just being honest or just thoroughly explaining himself, no matter how you slice it, he just handled this whole situation terribly.
Yeah, yeah, like, you know, when he's been asked, you know, multiple times, or, are you anti-Semitic? And then for him to finally, you know, go beyond a, you know, I'm not answering this question, to just saying, how can I be anti-Semitic if I know where I come from? Okay. Two things. One, are you saying you're Jewish?
What do you mean by that?
Because like, even if you are saying you're Jewish, and if you are saying you're Jewish, it is possible to be Jewish and still throw anti-Semitic comments or things like that. It is possible to do that. It's not like it's not like, you know, like, oh, how dare you ask me that? First of all, I'm this, and then second of all, like, you know, it's like, no, stop. Just answer the fucking question, yes or no. Right.
It's like I never have to explain myself, type of thing. And it's just like, with this one, you really do. Really do.
Yeah, when you burn sage at the garden, you didn't have to explain.
Right.
But there's plenty of times that he did it that he should have. But like,
you know, with the whole sage thing, he did explain himself. Nobody gave a no one asked him, but he just decided to, you know, explain himself.
But I think we can all agree that he gets quite agitated when he's asked for any accountability. He just doesn't like that. I don't know.
Which for me,
it's not helping him right now at all. And if he continues to be the stubborn, he's gonna be kicked out of the league. You know, like that's how bad this is.
For me, that's like the biggest problem in like our sort of our country right now is people just get to say things and then they don't have accountability for them. You know, they don't have to explain why they said something that clearly hurt a bunch of people. You know what I mean? Like, and then you can't tell me you're going to sit here and go against all the politicians that are saying the same thing right now and doing the same exact, and then be, you know, you do that. And then you have also then feel like, yeah, no, I can just do whatever I want, you know? Yeah.
And meanwhile, you got Jaylen Brown, who's one of the several vice presidents of the Players Association here. Come forward and say that, player association most likely is going to appeal the suspension because of the harshness of of what needs to be done for him to come back. I don't know. That's a little.
I was very
a little strange.
The way Jaylen worded it kind of makes sense. Like there's no rule saying that you have to be careful what you put on your social media, which I'm kind of surprised, by the way. Like you figure there'd be some sort of guidelines as to how they approach social media, but
especially these days.
In agreement. Yeah, especially in these days, like to protect their, like to protect yourself, honestly. Like, you know, don't cancel yourself or whatever, however you want to phrase it. It's like to protect your player's future in the NBA. Like, here are some guidelines just as a reminder of how to behave on social media.
Yeah, real quick. The movie is called Hebrews to Negroes. Wake up, Black America. And essentially
There's nothing really. I don't know. The title's kind of like
it says that.
That's why I think he didn't watch it. I really don't. Did you see it? Like, did you see? Like, I wanted to see. Like, you know, I was interested. I was like, maybe I'll watch this thing. It's like 3 hours long. And it's like
essentially, it's
a lot of time.
Black Hebrew Israelites, the community, right? They're saying that they're the true descendants of biblical Israelites. That's what the movie is.
But in saying that, there's some anti-Semitism in that, right?
Yes, exactly. Correct. Like, yeah. I'm not saying I'm not saying
information.
Yeah. There's a lot of disinformation. Exactly.
To prove that point.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm not quite sure he watched this whole thing.
Yeah, I don't think he watched any of it, to be honest.
I don't know, guys. I just feel like there's a big double standard going on. You cannot pick and choose your battles of hatred. Hatred is hatred, and if you're gonna stand up and hate something for or promote hate, it doesn't matter who. It doesn't matter who it's against. It should not be stand for. So my biggest thing is NBA is going to be a progressive league.
God forbid something, not God forbid, whatever. You know what I'm saying? But
no, I know.
You know, if something came out where somebody went against, you know, Asian Americans, right? You think the NBA is going to sit there and stand for that?
No.
No. So it's just, it's the same thing. If the NBA is trying to be the most progressive league and make sure that they have people that are socially responsible and helping, you know, push out these social agendas that I think are great. I think more leagues should hold their players accountable to. You have to come down on someone that's basically saying, fuck accountability. I'm going to say whatever the hell I want, no matter who it hurts.
Yeah. You know, freedom of speech. I got to say. Freedom of speech is not free from consequences or responsibility.
All I did is this. All I did was that. And it's just like, yeah, but you don't get to decide how it made other people feel.
Exactly.
Like, that's the part. Exactly. Like, that's the part that you don't have any control over, man.
So.
Yeah. No, 100%, man. 100%.
Well, we shall see what will happen going forward, but this is where we're at right now. This is where we're at right now when it comes to this situation.
Yeah.
All right. In case you missed it, Suns forward Cam Johnson had surgery Tuesday to remove part of the meniscus in the right knee. It's a procedure that should allow him to return in 1 to 2 months, according to ESPN. It was unclear to the operation whether Johnson would either need more extensive repair that could have potentially ended his season. Johnson had a similar surgery on his left knee during his senior year at North Carolina back in 2017, and he was able to come back in 5 weeks. Johnson, he suffered the injury last week playing against the Portland Trail Blazers. He was having a great start to the season because he was a starter, averaging about 13 points a game. So that's not good news for the Suns, who are kind of thin right now in their front court. So let's see if Jay Crowder all of a sudden becomes that much more important to return to this team.
I was talking to Tim the other day about this whole thing. I was like, yo, is Jay coming back? And he's like, I don't think so, man. I think that's just done. I think like Jay's and reports came out today, I guess, that like,
as it should be, man. He checked out, man. It's like when Cruz quit the team and Coach Carter, bro. Like,
okay.
No, but he brought him back though. Twice.
No, I mean, that's in the high school, all right? That's like, we're not doing this, all right? Like,
Coach, no. What I gotta do to play, Coach. What I gotta do.
I don't care how many push-ups you're doing, Jay. You know, you want to keep putting your workout videos on Instagram. Like, I'm with the Suns on that. Like, no, you can't just rejoin the team because the situation is finally ideal for you. Like,
I didn't think, you know, that Jay would come and be like, oh, looks like you guys need some help up front there. No, I'm curious.
Why'd you make the Cruz reference?
No, you did, motherfucker.
You just,
I know, I'm just kidding. That was you. No, I'm saying to the Suns,
what shouldn't happen.
I'm saying to the Suns, you know, who are supposedly trying to work out a trade for this dude. Do they just say maybe we should look to him coming back or see what his beef is for real? If you know, because he lost his starting spot or what's, you know, something.
Yo, the leverage that they had was very little to trade Jay Crowder before Cam Johnson went down. Now every team's like, nah, you can just play with him. Like, this, we'll give you a second round pick for Jay, and that's literally it. Like,
yeah. That's his value now.
Yeah. So, shout out to Tim, you know. It's going to be an up and down season for him, I think.
All we do is deliver Tim bad news.
It's so true.
Never good news. When we're talking about the Suns, never good news.
Suns could be a little bit of a wild card in the West, but they got to figure their stuff out quick because they do not. Very well, the Celtics' depth, like, and they're 7-3 too, so they're not playing bad, but like,
oh no, but it's like, how are they going to sustain this type of thing?
Yeah, plus you got teams like the Lakers and the Warriors who are off to a horrid start.
Yeah, the Lakers aren't even involved in this conversation.
Yeah, well, I'm just saying, just in terms of like the teams that were supposed to do. I mean, and then you got Utah on the flip side. Fucking what? They were 8-1.
They
weren't they supposed to tank this year?
That's not what Danny signed up for, man. <Just saying. laughs>
Didn't y'all say you're going to tank this year? And you know, you are winning like seven games in a row. What happened to that?
Danny's about 2 weeks away from busting into practice facility. Oh, no, not even busting into like a front office meeting, being like, you guys said The plan was to reset.
I could do whatever I wanted if you guys would have been here. Not even.
The plan was to reset, right? Then why the hell are we with it? Like, you know he's mad.
Oh, you know what, though? Going back to
why haven't we traded Jordan Clarkson yet?
Going back to our MVP conversation, that's got to be a hit on Donovan Mitchell, the team you left. You know, number one in the West right now.
No, it actually makes him look good on the MVP talks.
All right, I got a question to throw out. I think it'll transition very well.
All right.
So obviously the Jazz are number one right now, but who's the best team in the West right now? Forget record, best team you've seen in the West right now.
I don't know. You want to say Dallas, right? That's what you want to say. This is the point of this conversation.
Actually, I was going to say the Nuggets. I think the Nuggets.
Yeah, man. Exactly. That's why they want to catch an L.
No.
See what you did? See what you did? You brought it back, and now, you know, he's got all the rights to fucking say what he's about to say. So, Sean. That's on you.
The Celtics should beat the best team in the West because the Celtics are the best team in the East, and the East is better. Hands down.
All right. We done?
Who's your best team in the West, Joel?
Oh, I don't know. I don't think it's Denver.
The Mavericks, then. I think you're probably right.
Don't predict
it. I mean, it's not the Suns, even though they're 7-3, like you said. All right. Last but not least, in case you missed it, Dwight Howard has a new home, and no, it's not in the NBA. Mm-hmm. It's not in Boston, like a lot of people want it to happen. He's going overseas. Ladies and gentlemen,
I'm not gonna lie. When I first heard find out where he's going to next, I thought it was gonna be the wrestling announcement. I really did. He's going to WWE.
Sick. Nah, man, that's when a WrestleMania season. Then maybe he'll sign that contract. Right, right now he's still got to train. You know.
All right.
Where it is? Because I love the move. Good.
He's going to Taiwan. All right. He's gonna play with the Taoyuan. I hope that's what I'm saying, right? Taoyuan Leopards.
Yeah, great squad.
I could have said fucking, you know, the Yin Yang Twins. You were like, oh, that's an awesome squad.
Sean's like they won me $20 last month. Actually, they're putting that out there.
They are the reigning Taiwanese champions. Okay,
they play in the T1 league in Taiwan. Yeah.
T1 league, reigning T1 champions, Taiwanese Leopards. They've really, though, ever since...
Shut the hell up, Sean. You know what the fuck you're making this up right now.
Howard said, and I quote, "I'm so excited and I can't wait to touch down in Taiwan and start playing. I'm coming."
Sean's like, they went through the rebuilding phase. Now they're ready to sign, you know.
"I'm coming with open arms, with big hugs and big smiles," end quote.
No matter what people would tweet and stuff, you have to admit that they laugh when they heard it, bro. Like, yeah. You know you laugh. When
you know you fucking laugh, but then everybody's like, oh, that's fucked up. That's fucked up. It doesn't matter if it was funny. Right. It's fucked up.
If someone taped your initial reaction, you're laughing. 98% chance you're laughing.
Fuck. All right, Howard, who turns 37 next month, was a free agent after spending last season with the Lakers. After averaging 6 points, 6 rebounds in about 16 minutes per game. So, yeah, good for him. You know, he's got career averages of 15 points, 11 rebounds.
Yeah, he's going to make bank over there.
Yeah, he wasn't, you know, named one of the top 75 players of all time. So, you know.
I think at the end of the day, we're going to look back on Dwight Howard's career. We're going to say a little bit underrated at times. Like, underrated at times, man. Like, those years that he was carrying those Magic tees, man. Damn, man. He was unstoppable, dude.
Yeah, it's only going to look underrated because he never adapted to the new NBA, man. Like, that was the thing. He got phased out. But you're right, though. You're right. He was, no question, one of, if not the best center in the NBA for a number of years, including the year they went to the NBA Finals. So he gets credit for that. But, yeah, I'm with you. I mean, when his Hall of Fame – is he a Hall of Famer? What do you guys think?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Right? So when the Hall of Fame comes along, the numbers go across the board, people will be like, whoa.
I think the championship solidified that.
We slept on this one.
Yeah, not a first ballot Hall of Famer.
I don't know. He might be. I don't agree with it, but I think he might be.
No, so I was like, it depends who's in that class. We'll wait.
Well, I guess it could be whoever retired last
year. Which is probably why he's still playing. He's like, let me see, you know, how long I can make this last.
Well,
you think he never comes back, Sean? Probably not, right?
You know what?
He's not going to like go to Taiwan and develop a 3-point shot, right?
I mean, unless the 3-point line is, you know, just above the free throw line, then yeah, maybe.
All right. So, you know what I'll say about this is that I was watching the Mavericks game the other day, and JaVale McGee has made himself a little career after, yeah, like, he's still around rim running, and like, I know Dwight's a little bit of a different player, but JaVale can defend and run and rebound. That's it. Like,
well, he's adapted. That's a difference. Like,
but I adapted later because he lost a lot of his weight.
Hold on. But how? No, the only reason why he really adapted is because he was playing less minutes, and so then like in those spurts, he knew how to do what he usually does, but he never developed an outside, you know, jumper.
Yeah, but I think Dwight never even had an inside jumper.
That's what I'm saying. He never had a jumper, period. Like, he couldn't even shoot free throws. Like, he was awful.
If he even had like that little mid range Joel Embiid type, like Joel obviously
can shoot threes on that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but I'm just saying, when Joel came into league, he didn't have the jumper. If he sort of focused on it, even forget getting out to the 3-point line, be able to catch it at the free throw line and shoot a jumper.
Put it like this.
Right, plus he couldn't like post up like, you know, KG or the other bigs that could give you that fadeaway, the footwork, and get a quick two for you.
Put it like this: what player who's come into the league over the last decade has been compared to Dwight Howard? Exactly.
Yeah, nobody. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, because if that's in the scouting report, most teams are going to be like, we're good. I mean, that's not what people are looking for nowadays, you know? Like,
but I will say about Dwight Howard, if he came into the league, let's say 10 years before, he is a multiple-time champion and like, you know, going –
in the mid-90s. You're saying the mid-90s instead of early 2000s.
So early 2000s, yeah, because he came in what, 2004.
Three or four, yeah, 2004.
That was the last year that, you know, you can come straight out of high school.
Oh, yeah, he was in the
draft. Yeah.
Yeah, he was in Big Park's draft.
Sure. So, and he was a number one pick, yeah. And
they both came out of high school.
That was one of the last years where they actually valued that position that high up in the draft. And it was
he could run the floor like a fucking gazelle, but like, he didn't go much beyond. Like, when they made it to the finals and they played the Celtics the following year in the Eastern Conference Finals, I was like, he reached the ceiling. He's not going to get any better than this.
Yeah. I agree. Yeah. But, you know.
Are you guys done shitting on Dwight Howard?
No, good for him. He's you know, he's still playing. I don't know if his NBA days are numbered, but, you know, we shall see.
Underappreciated and a little bit after his time. That's all. That's all I said about Dwight.
Underappreciated, born just a little too late.
Yeah, and a couple of jabs more in there. You know, he was what was he, 6'9", 6'10"? Not even a 7-footer.
You know what killed Dwight? You know what killed Dwight's longevity of his career?
Here we go.
The fact that he had so much early success just relying on his athleticism, and he never had a game.
Yeah. All right. That's going to do it for this edition of In Case You Missed It. Follow us on all social media platforms at Causeway Street. Hit up causewaystreet.com for your Celtics news, rumors, and opinions. Subscribe to Causeway After Hours at patreon.com/causeway to enjoy exclusive content such as the After Show podcast and the One-on-One with Sway podcast. Plus, you're automatically entered to win one of our many jersey giveaways that we do every so often. So that's Causeway After Hours on Patreon. Also quick shout out to our listeners outside the U.S. I was looking at our numbers recently, and we have quite the following in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, such as, you know, Germany and UK, and of course, Latin America. So, you know, we appreciate the love for all y'all listeners from all over.
Thank you.
All over the globe.
Global podcast. And the Thunder from Down Under, they're gonna back up on that thing.
I was waiting for you to say something like that. But so,
we probably just lost a subscriber.
Also, before we sign off, Massachusetts made history yesterday. announcing the first female governor of the Commonwealth in our entire history.
Word.
Being the oldest state in the world. So, I mean, oldest state in the world. Yeah, the world.
Shit, speaking of which.
The oldest state in America.
Australia, y'all got nothing on Massachusetts.
Yeah. The new world, I guess.
Yeah.
But yeah, I having a woman step into that spot. I mean, we've always talked about Massachusetts being progressive enough, but the head has always been old school, and now
no, I know. I mean, Boston right now has a woman mayor too. You know, Michelle Wu doing it.
I love. Yeah,
I'm on the Wu train.
I just so for, and it's a historic event, so we got to talk about it, man. I think it's a great thing.
Hey, yeah, no, that's a good look. You're right. You know, we hope everybody got out there and voted on Tuesday. I mean, the NBA had zero games. All 30 teams played on Monday so that everyone could go out and vote on Tuesday. So, yeah, that's very important, you know, even though it's only the midterms, but it's going to affect 2 years later and so on and so forth.
Midterms, man. These are big elections.
They're big. Dude. No.
It's the one night that Sean doesn't bet on sports, but on politics.
Because there's nothing else. There's no sports on other than the NHL.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah,
I've been over this. I either watch CNN and watch the election results come in, or I watch like the Phoenix Coyotes play the St. Louis Blues. And I don't want anything to do with that.
All right, and on that note, until next time, we are out. Peace.
Oh, damn, my girl Rayla lost. Well, William Galvin's tough to move. You know, she's tough to move.